Thank you for your goodness to us, and we are grateful that you have not given us a spirit of fear, and that we could have peace in our hearts, even though there's chaos going on in our world right now. And we put our hope and our trust in you, and we believe that you will move supernaturally, God, to bring an end to this pandemic, God, in a way that the world will know that there is a God, and he is the Lord God of Israel. And so we just put our hope and trust in you. We ask your blessing on this word as we bring it forth this morning. I pray your anointing upon me. I pray you give me strength to proclaim this word and give us all ears to hear in Yeshua's name. Amen. So today we are celebrating because you made it. Today is officially day 15 of the fast. Woo! So that means 25 more days to the first night of Passover, April 8th. Think about that. Wow, 3 weeks ago when we started, you were probably thinking, 40 days. Oh, my gosh, how am I going to get through 40 days? You just made it through 15 days today. And we are encouraging you to hang in. Don't quit. Don't ring that bell. Rabbi Michael, I meant to grab that bell again this morning, but don't ring that bell, as Rabbi Michael encouraged us last week. And if you're listening to our podcast or watching the streaming of the service for the first time, our entire congregation is on an adventure. We are in a 40-day period of prayer and fasting leading up to Passover. And as we have said before, fasting is a spiritual discipline, denying yourself something physical for a spiritual benefit. And people are doing different types of things for the fast. Some are doing the Daniel fast, which is replacing meat and bread and sweets with fruits and vegetables and whole grains. Others are fasting specific items, some drinks, some are giving up their coffee, which is a big deal, or soda, and replacing it with water. Others are fasting things like social media, maybe a TV show that they regularly watch or whatever. As we've said before, everyone has chosen something that is a meaningful sacrifice. And for these 40 days, we have given that up in order to seek the face of God. And the incredible thing is that we are already starting to see signs of breakthrough. Amen. We just heard a testimony this morning from Adeline. Again, if you didn't get that, $180,000+ of medical debt gone. Hello, breakthrough. Again, we can rejoice in that. I sent out one of the messages I sent out at the beginning of the week. Tiffany and Moises was asked to come to visit their friend, Tara and Gino. She was in the hospital last weekend. We have been praying for this woman for over a year, praying for her salvation, praying for her healing as she's been struggling with cancer. I gave Tiffany and Moises an anointing oil, and I said, go in faith. And then I got the text later that day that Tara and her husband Gino pray to receive Yeshua as their Messiah. Amen. Breakthrough. That is breakthrough. Because even talking to Tiffany last weekend, Tara was so resistant to the Besara. She was receiving prayer and encouraged that we were praying for her, but every time Tiffany would speak to her about the Messiah, she was resistant. But now her name is written in the book of life, amen, along with her husband. That's breakthrough, friends. That's what this prayer and fasting is about. So we share those things with you to encourage you that whatever you are praying for, whatever you have put on your sheet of paper here, God is able. God will bring breakthrough for you just like he did for Tara's salvation and Gino's salvation, just like he did financially for Adeline. And I believe by next weekend there are going to be more testimonies to share because he is a God of breakthrough. Amen. And we are going to continue to seek him, believing that he is going to continue to move. And we are going to be praying and fasting. And today we're going to talk about how to pray with power while we fast. Remember, fasting is not just going without food. Fasting without prayer is a diet. And we're not doing diets, okay? We are doing something spiritual, and we need to intensify our prayer life. The word fasting, some say, literally means to cover your mouth. So while you're covering your mouth, restricting what goes into it, we need to increase what comes out of it. And so, and that's through our prayer. So prayer is a powerful weapon. It's the way that we communicate with our Heavenly Father. And we are seeking God's vision. We are seeking His plan and purposes for our lives, for the congregation. And remember, as we said several times before, that we are doing something spiritually. Not a diet. And I just keep saying this is not about anyone losing weight or getting healthier, although I think you're going to lose weight, okay? And those who are doing a Daniel fast and eating healthier, you've cut out some sweets and things, I think you're going to start feeling healthier. It's going to be a byproduct of it. But this is a spiritual thing that we are on, and God has encouraged us all to just push away from the normal routine of our life, even from the normal food we eat, and to seek Him and ask Him to fill us in a deeper way. What does Yeshua say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Who is hungering and thirsting for God, for righteousness? The promise of Yeshua, you will be filled. And that's what we are looking into doing. So we have these contracts. My husband and I are praying for you. We bring them out in an envelope even Wednesday night, and everyone stretched their hand towards them, and we prayed over these requests, asking God to move and intervene on your behalf, and encourage you to continue to do the same. You know, the first week or so, I mean, we're in 15 days. That first week, I'm sure, was tough for a lot of you, and probably all you could think about is, what can I eat, right, and about the food and things. But now, as you've settled in, I'm going to encourage you that that should be shifting. And if it hasn't, it will be this week. As you get further into the fast, you're not going to be thinking about the food as much. Your attention is going to be focused more on God and on spiritual things, and to encourage you with that. So today we're going to be looking at Luke in our workbooks. Luke 11 is a passage that we'll be looking to. Jensen Franklin tells us that when you eliminated food from your diet for a number of days, your spirit becomes more uncluttered by the things of this world and amazingly sensitive to the things of God. And that's what you should be expecting this week, that you're going to be more sensitive. You probably already are. Things are going to, your spirit is going to be more sensitive when you do something that you shouldn't do. And you get easily angered or irritated, you're going to be quick to say, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to walk down that way, all right? You're going to hear God speak to you more clearly because, again, you are sensitizing your spirit while you're denying your flesh, and good things are going to happen. So we are just going to ask God to continue to move in our lives, and just I want to even pray over these today. God, we are seeking you. We want to hear your voice. We want to know your heart. And we are people hungry for more of your touch, God. You see every one of these requests. These are your children sincerely seeking you, Adonai. Yeshua told us to ask, and we will receive, to seek and find, knock, and the door will be opened. And that's what we're doing, Heavenly Father. Hear our prayers. Hear our prayers. May the grumbling of our bellies be a sweet sound to your ears, God, as we fast and seek you. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. So we are looking, as I said today, at Luke 11, and Yeshua's Talmidim came to him and asked, teach us to pray. Yeshua, how do we press into God? How do we approach him with our needs? And Yeshua gave him these words, which is a familiar prayer to us. This is a shortened version of what is found in Matthew, and it's known as the Lord's Prayer by the believing community as a whole. But he says, when you pray, say, Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who has wronged us. And lead us not into temptation or into testing. So look at Yeshua's response, and look at the order that he gives in his response, the things that he is telling us to do. First, he tells us to praise God and then make requests. You know, often, as believers, when we come to God in prayer, it just tends to be the shopping list. And again, God's not put off by that, but there's a better way to approach God in prayer. And Rabbi Michael talked about this as his last point of his message last week, and it's a good point to start with to reiterate that truth. Worship, praise, is a weapon that God has given to us. And when we come into his presence, the psalmist says, I will come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So we need to, some of us need to adjust the way in which we come into prayer. Not the shopping list, but coming with worship and praise. Listen to worship music. Load up your phone. Go onto YouTube. You all know that, and I share a lot of this. I share a lot with the leadership group. You know, a song that I'm listening to on YouTube to just worship God. So when you're in the car driving, put the worship music on. When you're cooking, put the worship music on. If you're going to the gym still, put the worship music on. Whatever you need to do. And even in our study Wednesday night, we focused on spiritual warfare, and that we talked about worship even then. Again, and the story of Jehoshaphat was once again mentioned, how God told Jehoshaphat the way to defeat the armies of Ammon and Moabite is send out the worshipers. All right? So I want to encourage you with our National Day of Prayer tomorrow. Can we do some worship? All right? Can you make a commitment to that, friends? That when you go to extra time of prayer, joining with others, can we start it with worship, exalting God for who he is? And can I encourage you, of the songs that you listen to? Now, I know we all like to be encouraged, and when you're struggling and you want to be built up, you know, it's good to get that song that says, you know, God's not forgotten you and things like that. But, you know, worship is really focusing on who God is. Hear what I'm saying? So sometimes we can be so focused on, I want to feel good when I'm done with this worship music and God minister to me. And trust me, I've been there too. I want to be encouraged today as I come into your presence. But let's make worship about God, right? Exalting him. He is holy. He is worthy. He's the almighty God. There is no one like him. We sing that in the liturgy as we go into our Torah service. And then the second thing that Adonai tells his Talmidim is he says, that we need to ask God to give us daily our daily bread. And that when we fast and deprive ourselves of food, we need to feast on God's word. And this was the second weapon that Rabbi Michael spoke about last week. And again, Wednesday night, we discussed these two things together. And it's good as a reminder as we start this message, God's word is like a two-edged sword. It is powerful and active, but we don't use it. And Rabbi Michael encouraged us on Wednesday night about it. He says, you can't just think it in your head. You have to speak the word of God out, right? We are told in the scriptures that God spoke and the world came into existence. And he has given us the same authority, and he tells us to say to this mountain, hello, did you catch that? What did Yeshua say? Say to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, and it will happen. So some of us need to activate our voices and declare the word of God over our life and over our situation and over the needs that you have written down, the issues that you want breakthrough for in your life. You need to begin to declare the word of God. It is a weapon that Adonai has given to you. And Yeshua here in the Lord's Prayer is laying it out for his Talmidim. Worship, praise, the word. Get the word, the daily word. And Miles and I was talking right before service from the study for this past week, you know, and it talked about how long did the manna last? What was the shelf life of the manna? One day. Okay? So we need to daily be feasting on the word and proclaiming that word over our lives. The next thing that Yeshua talks about with to his Talmidim is this topic of forgiveness. Ooh. I can get into praise and worship, Rabbi Carol. And I get it. I can speak the word of God. Forgiveness? I'm not sure. You don't know what that person did to me. He says, forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. You see, just as God has forgiven you and me of our sins, the expectation is that we now forgive others who have wronged us. I want to continue. I think this is a very important point that you need to apply today and going forward in this fast. Don't go forward this week with unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment in your spirit. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to block your breakthrough. You can get mad at me, you can, you know, throw your little fit and everything like this, but I'm telling you, you hang on to that forgiveness and that bitterness and resentment, it will block your breakthrough. Oh, Rabbi Carol, it's so hard, I don't know. Take the first step. Take the first step. We have shared many times on forgiveness. It's a process for some people. Some people can't just get forgive like that. I've shared the story so many times in counseling with people of a situation many, many years ago, of a situation where I was deeply hurt by a friend, and I forgave as much as I knew how to, but there was a process of 2 or 3 years where something would come up and that would resurface and I would release forgiveness. And I remember the last time it happened, we were living in the parsonage. I was reading the book by Young E. Cho. I opened up to the new chapter, and I don't even know what the title of the chapter was, but by the time I was finished reading that first page, I was weeping and crying over that situation again and that pain. That was like 3 or 4 years later. And I released forgiveness once again, and never again has it bothered me. So as long as you are committed to the process of walking in forgiveness, we get it and God gets it. It might take you a while, but just don't hold on to it. Just don't say, I can't do it. I can't give forgiveness. It's too painful. You can. Walk through the process of releasing forgiveness. It's about inner cleansing. Forgive anyone that you have something against, or forgive anyone who has something against you. You see, if we don't forgive others, then we truly don't understand God's forgiveness towards us. Then the fourth thing he says is to admit our weakness. Lead us not into temptation. Temptation is going to come. Even in this fast, you made a commitment, whatever that commitment is. Maybe you drove by the Starbucks, or like my husband shared last week, you saw that commercial with the 2 donuts and the piece of chicken in between. And there's that donut right up there. My husband's kryptonite. But I can tell you, he has not had a donut. Not only in these 15 days, but even before then, he has not had a donut in quite a while. All right? Temptation comes, but we ask God not to lead us into temptation. And we acknowledge our weakness. That's very important. Okay, as we're going through this fast and prayer, we need to praise, we need to worship, we need to proclaim the word, we need to forgive, and we need to admit our weakness. The enemy is going to tempt you to give up. Rabbi Michael's message last week. It's not working. It's not making any difference. So that's why I want to share the testimonies as they come in. Because you may be sitting there saying, nothing's happening. That's not true. Things are always happening. All right? But the enemy's going to say, look, nothing's changed. You're worse. Your attitude stinks even worse than when you started. You ain't changing through this fast. And in the process, you're just making yourself miserable. Go grab that donut with the crispy chicken in between. And the enemy just sitting on your shoulder. What difference does fasting and prayer really make? Rabbi Carol, I prayed about all this stuff before anyway. Some of these things are pretty big issues that we have written down. Big requests for breakthrough. But we serve a big God. And we should not give up. And at this point, Yeshua tells this story to his Talmidim. And this is where I want to park for the rest of the message. In this story, in the last part of Luke 11, Yeshua tells his Talmidim this story, and this is the whole point of what he's saying when it comes to prayer. So this is how you should pray, but he recognizes that the enemy is going to try to tempt them to give up and not persevere. So he tells them this story, beginning in verse 5. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of challah, because a friend of mine on the journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the man inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already packed, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, Yeshua, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Can you say that with me? Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Friends, can you grab hold of that truth today? Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. This is the story about what happens when we worry our prayers won't be answered or that God won't respond to our requests. Think about it. This story here, it's late, and the man opens the door to a traveler, but he has nothing to feed him. His shelf is empty. Now, we've talked about hospitality in the ancient world a lot in our Torah study. It was a big deal, okay? You know, hospitality is not as high priority in our society today, perhaps in a lot of circles. But in the ancient world, if you had a traveler come to you, it was very important that you be hospitable to them. And that included giving them food. So this man was in a quandary because he needed to provide food for this traveler who showed up in the middle of the night. But the neighbor that he goes to is a little grouchy. And he's saying, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything. Okay, remember, again, we're talking the ancient world. Everyone basically lived in a one-room type house. So when he says they were with him, they were with him. Right? So think about it. If you ever went camping, but you know the story, my husband went camping once, bought all the greatest equipment, never again. I told him, and that was before he met me, I said, you don't know how to camp. I go camping all the time as a kid with my parents. That's how we enjoyed vacations with a family of 6 kids, was camping all the time. So he bought all the right equipment, but didn't have the right person taking him camping, but it ruined him for life. So, but when you go camping, it was one big tent, and all of us were in that tent together. And that's basically what this guy is saying. We are all here. We're asleep. I don't want to get up. I don't want to wake up my kids. I don't wake up my wife. Will you go and leave me alone? I'm not going to give you food. But what does this man do? He doesn't listen. He doesn't care that the guy is saying, go away. Don't bother me. He keeps, give me some challah, please. I need some food for my traveler. Come on, get up. You can help me. I know you have food. I saw all that challah left over after your dinner. Come, help me. And Yeshua gives this line. He says that even though he would not get up and give him the food because he is friend, yet because of the man's boldness, his persistence, he will get up and finally give it to him. He's not doing it because he's a good friend. He's doing it because the neighbor asking has boldness, and that word is also means persistence. The man is persistent in asking. He just keeps hanging on the door, banging on the door. I need bread. Give me bread. The guy inside, go away, I'm sleeping, stop bothering me. I need bread, give me some challah. And finally, the friend inside says, you know what, this guy's going to stand here all night, and my kids are going to end up waking up anyway. And so he gets up and says, take this bread and leave me alone. And that story is to encourage you and me when we come to pray. So Yeshua, after that story, he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. We're like the man on the outside looking to get challah. So as we're fasting and praying during these 40 days, we're that man knocking on the door. We're the ones asking. And Yeshua wants to encourage us to be persistent. Don't ring the bell from last week, but beyond don't ring the bell, today Yeshua is telling us, be bold and be persistent. Keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. And then Yeshua draws this sharp contrast between this neighbor next door and God Almighty. And he says, if this stingy friend who wishes more than nothing than just to get rid of the guy at the door and to ignore him eventually gets up and gives the man what he was asking for, how much more? How much more will your heavenly Father answer your request? Do you see the whole point of Yeshua's story? How much more is what he's saying to you? How much more will I hear and answer your request? I'm not that stingy man in the tent with his kids. I'm your heavenly Father. I will respond to your bold persistence, he says. And then he goes on to say, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a steak instead? Or if he asks you for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Rhetorical questions to which the obvious answer is no father is going to give a scorpion to a son who asks for an egg. And no father is going to give a snake to his son who asks for a fish. He says, if you then, though you are evil, in other words, we're flesh and blood and we don't do the right thing all the times, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Ruach HaKodesh to those who ask? Remember who you're talking to. You're talking to your Heavenly Father, and your Heavenly Father happens to be God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. Nothing is too difficult for him. So as we are persisting in prayer and fasting in the next 25 days, remember who you are talking to. Heavenly Father, who can do anything. And to give what we ask him for. I have a couple pictures of JFK, a picture of him with his children in the Oval Office, and his boy John, and then there's some pictures of him and his with Caroline as well. So if you know anything about history, JFK had this policy that all visiting staff and senators had to book a special appointment to see him, but not his kids. Officials couldn't just come into his office. They had to make an appointment. But his children had free access. That's because they knew him as Father. They didn't have to make an appointment. And he had a long-standing rule in his White House that his children were free to barge into the Oval Office anytime they wanted to, because he was their Father. They didn't have to make an appointment to see Dad. Earthly Father, JFK, looking after his children. How much more your Heavenly Father looking out after you? He's saying, I'm not put off. You want to come barging into my presence? Come right ahead. I'm not too busy. Oh, but there's so many things going on in the world right now, God. This coronavirus and everything else. Your hands must be full. God says, I have time for you, daughter. I have time for you, son. You can come in. Andrew Murray says this, it is in prayer and its answer that the interchange of love between the father and his child takes place. It is to prayer that God has given the right to take hold of him and his strength. Prayer is a way where God blesses and releases his love to us and where we express our love to him. So this prayer, the Lord's Prayer that we went through at the beginning, has a new light shed on it when we connect it to the story that follows, correct? And God is wanting to encourage us, don't just mumble through a prayer. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with doing liturgy. We do liturgy here. There's nothing wrong with, again, having a list that you present to God. But God is telling us, don't just mumble and don't just meekly wish for something and then drop it. He's saying when you're serious about something, when you want your Father to know your needs, you should pound the door of heaven like a child who has wedged his foot in between the door and is saying, I need your help. All right? My kids are downstairs serving in the junior Shabbat. They're older. They're in their 20s now. Can you believe that? They still need mom. And sometimes, and I'm like, they will not stop. Mom, I'm upstairs working in the office, and they are like nonstop. Or for dad, right? Our Heavenly Father wants us to be persistent, to pound the door of heaven. Because he is not bothered by that persistency and he is not bothered by that boldness, but he is moved by it. And as we read there, he says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for everyone. Say everyone. Everyone who asks will receive. That means every single person listening to this message today, if you will be persistent and bold, if you will commit to seek God and to knock on the door, he says, everyone who asks will receive. Keep asking. Be persistent. Be bold. Oh, why, Rabbi Carol? Is God waiting for me to get some sort of magical number in my asking? No. It has nothing to do with that. But there are spiritual principles, just like there are in the natural laws. We have the law of gravity. If you go up there and jump off that balcony, you're going to get hurt. It's a law of gravity. There are spiritual laws that God has put in place, and one is to seek him and to knock and to ask. And he says, you will receive. So I'm going to encourage you in this week ahead to up your intensity for the needs of this congregation. Pound the gates of heaven this week. Say, God, we are not giving up. We rejoiced in Adeline's testimony, and we rejoiced in the salvation of Tara and Gino. But, God, there are a lot of other needs in that envelope. And, God, we are going to knock on the door of heaven this week. We are going to ask. We are going to seek. We are going to keep coming before you with boldness because you have told us to do so. And, God, you have told us that everyone who asks will receive. And God, I'm part of that everyone. I'm part of that everyone, God. And I'm believing to receive what I have written on this paper. I am believing that this week I will receive. And I'm not giving up until I do. Amen. Let us be those who persevere in prayer. Ask, seek, knock. Each one a little more intensity. Ask is a simple request. Seek is stronger. Knock, obviously, is the most intense. Keep knocking, God says. And we've talked about this verse in the past. It's a continuous active form of the Greek, which means to keep doing it, keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking. And I'm going to tell you, there will always be an answer. There will always be an answer. And as I close, I just want to quickly go over what some of those answers may be. If our request is wrong, God says no. If you are wrong, God will tell you it's time for you to grow. If the timing is wrong, God will say it's time to slow down. And if the request is right and the timing is right, then God will say, let's go forward with this. But God always answers. Amen? God always answers. And I know in my journey with God, I've heard all four answers. Sometimes God has told me no. Sometimes God says, Carol, you need to grow up a little bit here. Other times he says, let's slow down on this, okay? And other times he gives that green light, let's go forward right now with this. But he always answers. So God wants us to continue to seek him and to be persistent this week. God wants to give good gifts to us. But more than even the good gifts or the answer to this prayer, he promises there in Luke that he would give his Holy Spirit to us. That's himself. And I believe breakthrough for every single one of these requests that we are praying for. But I told you from the beginning, and I'll say it again, and my husband as well, more than anything else, I want this heart changed. I want your heart changed and taken to a new level in God. Right? If that would be all that happens, and it's not going to be Dayenu as we're preparing for Passover, it would be enough. So let us keep this in mind as we close today. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And I'm going to send this verse out. I might send it to you every day this week because this verse is so powerful. Everyone who asks will receive. Do you hear that? Everyone who asks will receive. Friends, that is powerful. So God wants you and me to be persistent this week. He wants us to go after it. He wants us to pick these things up and say, God, you are the God who answers. You say we will receive. Give us the answer. Give us the breakthrough. He's not an earthly father. And as good as earthly fathers can be, my husband is a great father. My kids adore him. Except when he's scratching them. He's like, why do you do that, Dad? You know that bothers me. And as good a father as my husband is, it compares nothing to our Heavenly Father. And your Heavenly Father loves for you to ask. And he loves for you to be bold in his presence. So let's stand to our feet. And I'm going to pray here. And I'm going to start by praying for more of his Spirit because that's what he promises us to give us. And then I'm going to pray once again over these requests. Abba, Father, I thank you for encouraging us today on how to pray. God, that we need to be bold and persistent. And Lord, I pray in this week ahead, this our third week of fasting, that we would rise up with a supernatural boldness as we come into your presence, God. Not cockiness, not pride, but the boldness that you tell us to come into your presence with. God, knocking and seeking and asking, believing that you are hearing and answering. And God, above all else, I pray that you would release your Holy Spirit. You would release your Holy Spirit, that each person would know the friendship of you, Holy Spirit, like they've never known before. Draw us closer to you. May we know your heart. And Abba Father, once again, I lift up these requests on every sheet in here, God, and those that were not written down. And I pray for breakthrough, God. Breakthrough, Lord. Breakthrough, God, for each family, for each individual, and for this congregation. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. We're not going to have the ministry team come forward either during this season. Again, just to give space. But no, we are praying for you. If you have a prayer request, you can send it to Rena. Rena's the one who normally sends out prayer requests, so we try to send them out. If they're urgent, we'll send a text. Otherwise, we send out an email. So we are praying for you, so don't feel that we're not. But again, the protocol from a lot of our spiritual leadership is encouraging not to have hands laying on a prayer at this time.